Blog Talk Radio.
My God, I don't even think you guys heard anything I said, so I'm going to say it all over again. Well, it's amazing to be here with you. This is Apostle Crystal Lee. I am excited to be here with you, and I was thinking about it when I was getting ready to mute that. I was thinking about the fact that I might have been muting myself like I did before, but I'm thankful that the Holy Spirit had me go look at it again because I thought I repressed the button and it didn't move. So here we are. This is Apostle Crystal Lee. I'm excited to be here with you tonight. I know you thought I wasn't going to show up, but I am here, and we are going to take time to go over these parashats, even if we have to do it a little bit tomorrow or sometime during this week, we're going to go through this thing, even if we have to wait till next Saturday and Sunday. We're going to get through it. I'm finding that these Torah portions, that business of Torah, this loving instruction that the Father has left behind for his sons, is so far from just something that we can do in one or two settings. It's so much more the prophetic significance of the word that he's left for us, even in the prophets. I mean, the prophetic significance of the scripture that is there for us, that is profitable for doctrine, is profitable for reproof, you know, profitable for instructions and righteousness. It's profitable to correct us and give us the right mindset and right ideas. You know, this law, which people really are disturbed by that word law because they just, it sounds so harsh, but it's really the loving instructions of a father, the loving instructions that a father leaves behind for those that are inheriting a thing that he's left for them to inherit. And I'm excited about it. I didn't know whether I was going to be here or not tonight, but I'm glad to be here. And we have to really begin in this hour to capture the idea that the father sometimes overthrows his own way of doing a thing, or the thing that you may have set in order to do, even if he's called you to it. Sometimes he will rearrange a schedule because he is the God of times and seasons. He is the God of that. And so even though the enemy seeks to change times and laws, the Father is actually the God of times and seasons. And this is why, you know, that this is why the Pharisees and the Sadducees could be angry with the master, because they're simply identifying with was written, which kills, but they don't have the spiritual significance to the thing that the Father has put in place. And so they're having an issue with the master and disciples walking through the field and picking and eating. The same thing would have been so in David's day. They walked into the temple. David said, listen, I need you to feed us. I need you to feed my men. They said, listen, as long as no man here has had any dealings with a woman for the last couple of days, that was set apart for the Levitical priesthood. It was set apart. It was a law that this thing was specifically for them, and nobody that was not hallowed for that place was supposed to partake. Yet, you got to recognize that David was a king priest, and a lot of people don't recognize that about him. He was a king and a priest, and this is why he was able to be pardoned and to walk into this dimension where he could eat, where he could be satisfied in that place with the bread that was for someone else. Okay, let's just talk about the woman, the Canaanite woman who's sitting at the master's feet. Here's another example, or another dimension of this instruction, another dimension of this definition that I'm giving you. This woman meets him and she's saying, listen, my daughter is grievously vexed. She's got some issues and I need you to heal her. And the master says, I'm not here for you right now. You know what I'm saying? He's trying to let her know, I didn't come for you. I came for the lost sheep of Israel, and I can't give the children's bread to the dogs. Listen to this. And she begins to say, you know what? Even the dogs get the crumbs from the master's table. She's given such a faith in who he is, such a confidence in what he's carrying, that she begins to bring something out of her next into her now. It really wasn't set. The law, how he was supposed to move, was already identified. It was already set. It was already laid out. But somehow she taps into the next place that he's going, and she pulls that next into her now. I believe with everything in me, and I said this on the last broadcast, that I don't remember exactly the day that this thing turned, but I remember when the Father began to turn some things, and I began to do this three times a day prayer, and I began to do some things a little bit differently, and then I began to go through this process that I was going through in that season of my life. I was dealing with some things. I was in a very amazing relationship. I was in a place. And I was being taken through some places that I had never been before. In that place, there was another thing that was unveiled, another opportunity that came up, and I thought it was an opportunity to go and minister. And that thing turned into, it began to be something else. And it even affected the place that I was in. And I'm telling you, this, how the enemy works is so amazing, but how the Father redeems us is even more amazing. And, you know, I was just going through a real place, but I'm saying all of that to say this. That even though you are following a certain principle, following a certain thing, the Father will oftentimes change your course. And today he literally changed my course. I had I don't even want to say I didn't have a desire. I had no concept of, or no, I had not decided to, it was not on my calendar to do exactly what I did. all that I did today, but the Father called me to that place, and I walked through some doors today, and I began to share some things, and some things were shared with me, and I began to actualize some things that the Father's spoken to me in another season. Sometimes you just have to push your way, and it's just a funny thing, because one of the things that was prophetically spoken was in that environment was you got to you dealt with the thing and you pushed the first time and it brought something that was deadly, something that was not beneficial, something that was harmful. You got to push again, and some examples were used, like, you know, how Eve bore Cain. And then after that, she pushed again and bore Abel, the righteous seed. Then beyond that, she began to bear Seth after Abel was killed. You know, this place that we're in when we're dealing with Torah, it's a very intimate place, and it's a place where we're to receive the conception that we need to continue to bear and to bring forth. And so I'm just so excited. I heard a word today that, you know, was really in line with what the Holy Spirit's been speaking with me, and I was able to walk through some doors that the Holy Spirit had talked to me about. And I just, you know, I'm going to be honest with you. I really was not in the market for what was saying to me. I'm going to say it again. Yeah, I know that sounds strange. I'm an apostle. I'm a child of Yah. I'm a daughter. I'm a son of Yah. I'm the royal family. But the king said some things to me that I just didn't agree with. I'll give you some examples. I mean, here we are. We've got this son who is the son of king. And people, they make it the story of the prodigal son. But this thing is really about a king whose son comes back home. It's really about a king who gets his heir back. In his kingdom, his heir comes back home and comes back under the kingdom and begins to function from that place. And it's just so amazing, because this son said, listen, I want my stuff and I want out. I want my stuff and I want out. And sometimes the Father is saying things to us that we don't want to hear. And I can't even imagine this young man, as a young man, probably wanted to go and do his own thing. And he knew if he stayed in his father's house, he couldn't do it that way. But there are times when we have an idea or a concept of what the Father wants to do and how he wants to move. And he's saying no. And everything that he's saying is going against our nature. It's going against the thing that we are used to. It's going against the grain. It's almost like somebody scratching on the chalkboard. Because I'm going to tell you something. I'm not a person that pushes like that. I'm not a person that continues to push. When I feel like I'm being rejected, when I feel like I'm not being received, and I know that the Father has sent me, I'm the kind of person in the past that has been like, listen, they won't receive me. There are people, though, you have to understand this, and I want to share this with you apostolically. There are people that the Father has his heart set on that he has already determined you're supposed to be in relationship with. And he's going to make sure that relationship is forged, that it's healthy, that it's working, that it's producing, but the enemy in another season may have done some things that were destructive, that brought some damage to the relationship, but you have to understand that his word is true. Anything that proceeds from his mouth is how we're to live. It's what we're to live by. Are you listening to what I'm saying? This word of Torah is the thing that we're to live by. It's the instruction that we connect with, that we allow to impact us. You know, a lot of people are talking about Torah. Some people are engaged in the reading of the Parashat every week, the Torah reading. They're engaged in that, but they're not engaged by Holy Spirit. They're only dealing in the letter. Then you got those who have no idea about Torah. They're only engaged in the religious scene. They don't know anything about the law. They're not familiar with the covenant, but they think that they're living the way that they should be living, and they're missing the whole boat. I've been on both sides of that fence, and I understand what it means to come into covenant with the Father. I understand what it means to function from this place of covenant. It's everything to me. And I promise you, when he began to deal with me in this covenant place, before he even said, listen, I want you to come into this place of Torah. You know, I kept reading those first five books over and over again and being stuck in Genesis. You know, I go through this process of reading through the Bible, and I've read through it several times, but, you know, you never really read it in order. And then this year, this is the second year or the third year that I've been in Torah, and then he allows me to read through the Bible in 30 days from cover, from the beginning to the end, not just reading different pieces, you know, out of their sequence that it, that the book is in, but in the sequence that it's in and the order that it's in. And we're going to do that at least two or three times a year, because I believe that dynamic is so powerful, and I believe that Torah is so impactful and so powerful because it allows us to understand the heart, the mind, the heart and the mind of the Father, of what He desires for His sons to understand about His person, what He desires for us to understand about the promises that He's made to us, and how we are to obtain that. I promise you, my whole life right now is all about, following what the Father has said, following what He's established, so that I can get to the true riches of God. I can get to the true inheritance. I can understand what it means to battle and to gain the spoils of my adversary. You know, we are in that season where the spoils are important, and the Father is sending His sons to war, but you cannot go to war with an enemy you don't know. And we've been fought, and we've been overcome, and all of these things have been purposed. You know, Daniel says it best. I believe it's Daniel chapter 11, or it's Daniel chapter 7. I'll pull it up when we come to it. But there's a verse in there that discusses that some of the wise will fall. A lot of people are not familiar with that place. They're not familiar with the fact that it doesn't matter how wise you are and how much words you know. I was brought up in the church, and I was a lover of the word. I beheld to that thing. I read it. But you know what? You can read through a lens, and if you don't have the information for the contract, if you don't have the information for the agreement, you're reading through a lens minus the agreement. And so all you know is to do the things that have been told to you. Okay, well, that's a sin. Well, this is a sin. Well, you know, don't do this and don't do that. And I'm not saying that law doesn't prevent us, but law also gives us the dimensions of the covenant. It says, listen, I love you, and because I love you, I'm calling you to myself. And when I call you to myself, I've got to separate you from everything else. And when I separate you from everything else, what I want to do is build you so I can live in you. I'm going to make you a rare jewel. I'm going to make you a rare find. That, you know, that peculiarity, it has nothing to do with being weird or strange. It has everything to do with being rare, being something that is not found on every corner. It's not found in every place people go, but when they see it, they identify the worth and the value of it. And I believe that's the place that the Father's bringing His sons to in this hour. I believe that that's the place that He's bringing His sons to in this hour. Listen, I'm going to read you this thing that He gave me to read to you, and then I'm going to turn you loose, and we're going to see you again probably this weekend. Well, I'm not even say that, because we've got our event this weekend. The Nation of Kings is this weekend, so I don't know if I'm going to do the 3 o'clock or not. But I am going to be available. I am going to be available after that, okay? This week's parashat is Kedoshim, which means holy. Oh, God, I could talk about that all day. I could talk, because I've lived the other life. You know, even though I wasn't out there, I wasn't doing drugs, I wasn't a prostitute, I wasn't, you know, all these things that people would say, I wasn't that, but I wasn't holy. I wasn't that, but I wasn't set apart. I was on the verge of some things. I had some principles. I had some downloads. I had a constitution. Some things that were absolutely God-given. But the content, without the context, it wasn't really functioning as it needed to function. I needed Torah, which is the context of the content that was poured into me in another season. Let me read this to you, and we're going to come back to this. Leviticus 19 is where we are. In Torah, 19 is where we are. Leviticus 19, I believe it goes to 19, 20. I believe it goes to 21. And I'll try to look it up before we get off of the line. I don't have it in front of me. But this is what I wanted to say to you today, the opening of what I wanted to say. And I'm going to just go ahead and read that. Because Yah is holy above all, and there is no other God likened to Him. I want you to be very clear. When the Bible says there is none other, not talking about humans, because He made you in His likeness and image, and the very image of God, the very breath of God that He breathed into you was for the purpose of you coming into the very nature of God to live like Him, to be as Him in the earth. And so this is what the Son came and fulfilled and showed us the example of, so that we could follow that. So it says, because Yah is holy above all, and there exists no other God likened to Him, we should ever recall His goodness, remember His acts toward us, and those before us, not just the acts toward us, not just the things that He did in the past for those that were before us, but the things that He has already set to do for our future. He's had conversations about many things with many of us that are on the line of the night, you about the things He desires to do And so now you've got to come into the dimension of understanding that if he said it, if he spoke it, he's going to do it. If he spoke it, if he said it, he's going to bring it to pass. He's surely going to follow out his word to perform it for you. Listen, this is what it says. It says, for at the beginning of all, his declaration of the end is in it. At the beginning of everything that he began to do in the earth, the recreation of the earth, his declaration of everything was in it. So he began to declare the end at the beginning or from the beginning. Every beginning for us, he already, from his beginning, declared the outcome. I want you to know that Torah is about helping you to prophetically understand your outcome right now. It's not just about the history of things. It's about the things that have been a mystery to you. It's about the mystery of things and those mysteries being unveiled, those mysteries being uncovered. The Bible declares that the secret things belong to the Lord our God, but those things that he reveals to us belong to us and our children forever. This is the hour of mysteries being revealed. Listen to this. It says he has his counsel is an eternal counsel. It always was and always will be. Listen, anything that he spoke, eternal. Eternal means it doesn't have a beginning and it has an ending. So that's why I don't say it's everlasting, because everlasting has a beginning, okay? And from that beginning point, it lasts forever. But eternal means there's no beginning of thing and there's no ending of the thing. So everything that he already established concerning you is already been established. And now, even though it's a replay for him as we're walking through it, it is a new thing for us. And so I'm excited about what he's doing. Listen, I'm excited. Forgive me. It says here, his counsel is eternal counsel. It always was and always will be. The legs of his counsel, listen to this, the legs of his counsel are unbending and unbreakable. I want you to know this prophetically. The legs of the counsel of God, whatever he has determined in the heavens, the courts, the heavens courts, whatever he has determined in the heavenly council, it's unbendable and it's unbreakable. It doesn't matter what you've been challenged with. It doesn't matter what you're facing. It's unbendable and it's unbreakable. Listen to this. Every word he declares will be accomplished. It will be formed and it will undeniably be manifested. Listen to this. It will undeniably be manifested. I want you to look at that. That's Isaiah chapter 46 that I got all of that he just had me read to you. This is important. We are in a season where the Father is calling us to push. I've been talking about wombs and pregnancy for some time, but I believe that we're about to cross over into a new dimension. 79 is the last in that series of numbers, and we're going to begin again with 80. We're going to talk about that when we come back to this thing. We're going to begin with 80, and we're going to go back over some of the things that we did. And Zora, I still have notes from that. And I'm telling you, I am excited. He is calling his sons to the forefront. He is calling his sons to be bold and to be strong, to be of a good courage. I know that the things the Father is calling you to in this season, it seems so uncomfortable. It seems so out of place. It's not in your natural character, but sons are ever become. So your character is changing because your DNA is changing. Everything about you, down to the cellular structure. It takes 35 days, I believe it. I believe I've studied this properly. It's either 30 or 35 days that it takes to regroup and have a whole nother set of cells. I want you to understand something, that what the Father's calling his sons to begin a journey that restructures them, to begin a journey that reinvents them, that makes them new, that creates a newness in them that is built for the next. God is desiring to create a newness in you, to restructure you so that you will be prepared for your next, even as the Hebrew boys were prepared. They were human. They were not angelic beings. They were not sentient beings. They were not, you know, they were not some beings that were not, what do I want to say? They were not ethereal beings. You know what I'm saying? Ethereal beings. They were men. They were mankind. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So what prevents them from, when they're thrown into the fire, from being consumed, is they have a different constitution. They're carrying something. These boys carry the law. I want you to know there is nothing in this hour that the powers that think they be can do to you, because you are of another constitution. You're of another substance, and you're ever becoming. They can't identify you. They can't put their finger on you. They can't throw you in oil. They can't throw you in lions. They can't cut your head off. None of these things can happen because you'll walk through a crowd. They cannot put you in the fire, because it'll kill them putting you in there, and it'll kill them taking you out. They'll have to call you out from in the midst of the thing that they attempted to throw you in, because this is the hour of manifesting sons, and the manifesting sons are now going to rise, because the earth is awaiting, it's groaning, it's travailing to push out the manifestation. The manifesting sons of Yah is what the enemy has been having a problem with, and that's why you've been challenged so greatly. You've been challenged so greatly because the enemy is intimidated by the purpose that's on your life. He's intimidated. He's intimidated with what you're carrying. I've been telling y'all this, and I walk right into a place where it was being spoken that your enemies are not about what you look like. They're not, you know, you may be beautiful, you may be handsome. Your enemies are not about what you got on. You know, that's not their biggest issue. Their real issue is what's in you. Because what's in you is the representation of what you're really carrying. That's really what they see outside of you. See, the coat for Joseph wasn't the biggest deal. Though they had an issue that he was carrying the favor of his father. I need you to hear this. The coat was just a representation of the favor. The coat wasn't the issue. It was the favor of the father that was on him that was causing great consternation in his family. It was that favor that was on him, not just from his earthly father, but heavenly father. And they began to figure out, well, what do we need to do with him? Because we're tired of his mouth. We're tired of his dreams. We're tired of all his wild ideas. I want you to know there are a few people tonight that are listening to me, and you've had some things that could be considered in the ears of people who think they got it all together. It could be wild ideas. These things that you're saying, they're like, well, where is it now? You know, they're kind of like, well, since the beginning of the time, people have been saying that he's coming. Well, he ain't came yet. Yeah, they're scoffers. Those are called scoffers. They're concerned about what things look like, but they don't understand that while they were scoffing about the lack of what they thought was a representation, the representation was around them the whole time. Come on. The representation was around them the whole time. I just want to encourage you tonight. I'm going to get off of here. We're going to come back to this thing. I want to encourage you tonight that no matter what you're facing, this place that you're in the right place at the right time. Torah is the right thing to do. It's the law. It is the very loving instruction of a father to a son. And until you get the loving instructions, you will not know how to operate inheritance. I'm excited because Torah is the salvation. Torah is the salvation. The sons of Yah, and I'm excited to be a part of this number. I'm a part of this age. I'm a part of the sons that carry the grace for this age, that carry the powers of the age to come. I'm excited to be connected to you. Listen, we're going to get out of here. We'll see you again. Keep us lifted as far as the event or the gathering is concerned. A Nation of Kings is going forth this week, and it don't matter what it don't look like we got. We're moving forward, and every need is going to be met. I love you so much. Until the next time. You're blessed. Don't you forget it.